Our reading this morning, as Andrew said earlier, is from Luke chapter 8, verses 26 to 39. Jesus restores a demon-possessed man. They sailed into the region of Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but he'd lived in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had commanded the impure spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and he had been driven by the demon into solitary places. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, because many demons had gone into him, and they begged Jesus repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. A large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, and the demons begged Jesus to let them go into the pigs, and he gave them permission. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. Then all the people of the region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them because they were overcome with fear. So he got into the boat and he left. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. Amen.
So I wonder what you think when you hear the word demon. What comes into your mind? You don't have to answer if you don't want to. Somebody evil? Some murmurings?
The devil?
I think there's all sorts of different ideas and thoughts about the word demon, and there's all sorts of extremes, and there's probably somewhere in between. There's the medieval caricature, and a lot of what what people I meet talk about are just made up. It's just not there in the Bible. There's the medieval caricature of evil looking with horns, and he's red, and he's got a long pointy tail, and he's got That's not true. I don't believe. And there's those who who would think that there's demons everywhere, and that needs to be sorted out. And again, I don't believe that. I believe that that sometimes we project things onto people, thinking and to situations that there's demons there. There's also the other extreme where people just don't believe in demons at all. And probably there's somewhere in between, but I've never really nailed it down 100%. I don't know if you ever read the books, This Present Darkness series, This Present Darkness. And it was a fascinating book. I wasn't sure what I thought about it, but basically the concept was that he was writing a story about what was happening in real life related to Christians and church and things like that. And then it was a really one of those where there's like two things going on. So there'd be that. He described that scene, and then he described what's going on with the angels and the demons above. And it really got me thinking, and the Bible clearly says that there's a spiritual battle going on behind what's going on in our lives. And we need to be careful, really, really careful with this. And we've got to make sure that we don't see them all everywhere around the corner. Whatever we believe about demons, it's quite clear in the Gospels that Jesus believed in them. And that he met some, and that he drove some of them out and healed people from it. And he does this to this poor man in this story. Some people will say that he had a mental health issue. And as you look at the symptoms of the things that were going on in his life, you can really see that. And I'm not sure whether that's what was going on or not. But there was certainly something evil going on as well. But let's not blow it out of proportion either way. The thing is that this man was in an absolute real mess. And we read that he'd been in this state for a long time. He was suffering really badly, physically, mentally, and I believe spiritually. In those days, there wasn't the help that there is today. And obviously, the situation, he finds himself living out of town, away from his home, away from the people who love him, and he was living in the tombs. We read in, I think in Matthew's Gospel, that there was two men who were living in the tombs. But here we read that he was living in the tombs, and so does Mark as well say that. He was suffering. It says that physically he was naked, he wasn't wearing clothes, and that he was alone. And that's not a really good situation to be in. We read that he'd been able to break chains that bound him and escape his guards. Obviously, they're equivalent to perhaps Victorian asylums, to get the person as far away as you can from society. But he was so strong for some reason that he could break these chains and just stayed in solitary places. That's a lonely place to be. In a solitary place. And we can be in a solitary place in our mind as well. And those of you who have experienced mental health issues can know that sometimes that drives you to want to go away, to run away from everything, from people, to just spend time on your own, to isolate yourself. And I see that in this man. The man was away from his family and his friends. And we don't know the background. And we know sometimes when people are suffering very severely from mental health issues, that can become difficult for them to stay within the family. And maybe that's what's happened here. But he was away from those who could support him and help him and love him and be there for him. He was so tormented that it drove him to be aggressive and violent. And in Mark's Gospel, it says that at night he would howl in the tombs. And also in Mark's Gospel, it says that he would hit himself, bruise himself with stones. And a friend of mine who's a lot brighter than me was doing a PhD about mental health issues and faith. And she feels and believes that this was a form of self-harm. And we know that that's something that some people suffer, and more people suffer from, particularly young children these days. It's a real picture whether it is something demonic or whether it's mental health. It certainly has all the signs of a serious mental health issue. That he was in a really terrible place, a horrible place. He had no human contact. His life he probably felt was at an end. He was like a person condemned and locked in an asylum for life. Jesus asks him asks the demons what they're called and says legion. And there's been lots of speculation about what that means, all sorts of things, thinking about whether it's Luke projecting the political situation onto the story that the Romans were there and that they were oppressing the Jewish people. I'm not sure about that, but that's one thought. The other thought is that maybe this man had witnessed something horrible that the Romans had done, and then that drove him to have serious mental health issues, and so called himself Legion. A Roman legion was about 6,000 men. And whatever you believe about these theories, this man had lots of problems. He had lots of personal problems. And he was finding himself in this really horrible, dark, difficult place. So what about you and me? We use that phrase often, don't we? My demons. We talk about the demon drink. We talk about skeletons in the cupboard. And certainly I'm thinking here about the things that cause us problems, that make us less than we should be, that maybe drive us sometimes to feel lonely, to feel physically, spiritually, mentally like we're struggling. And I wonder what those things are for you and for me. Are there things in life that persistently get us down? Situations, perhaps, that are difficult, that affect us? Are there things that other people have said or done to us that make us feel chained and imprisoned? I wonder what it is. Maybe it's the loss of someone that's just made us not be in a good place. Maybe it's the things that we do and say that are not helpful for our lives. And one of the other things that I was thinking about was as well that we have people who we know and who we love who are struggling as well. And we feel for them and want them to be healed. So what can we do? Let me not leave you there in that place. But what can we do? Well, there's lots of things that we can do, lots of things that are on offer that can help us in so many different ways. And there's lots of things that we can do. We can, if we're struggling, go to our doctors. Certainly I've met lots of people who find, that medication helps, counselling, CBT, cognitive behaviour therapy, certainly helped me for a while and still does. Mindfulness, Christian mindfulness, many other things that can help us. But here we have Jesus coming along and healing this man. We read right at the end, that verse there at the end, where it says that when they came to Jesus, found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed in his right mind. He's completely healed by Jesus. Jesus has come to him, seen his need, and met it. And he wants to do the same for you and me. Jesus is a God who can heal us, and I've seen it so many times. For some people, that can take a long time, a lot of prayer, a lot of love, a lot of support and encouragement, a lot of listening from my part and other people's part, alongside help from medical professionals. But we can find healing. And one of the interesting things about this passage is, of all the people in the passage who actually believed that Jesus could heal this man believed it. This man believed who Jesus was. He says, "What do you want with me? Jesus, Son of the Most High God." He was frightened about what he would do to him. He says, "I beg you not to torture me." But this man knew who Jesus was. And even the disciples at this point in Luke's gospel were struggling to know who Jesus was and what he could do. But this man looked at Jesus, knew he was the Son of God, and said, "What are you going to do with me?" He was frightened that that was going to be negative. But at the end of the story, the man is fully healed. He's in his rightful mind. He's been healed mentally. He's been healed physically. He could go home now. Jesus told him to go home. He asked him if he could come with him. Did the man, "Can I come with you and follow you?" And Jesus said, "No, go home. Go to the people who love you and care for you and support you. And tell them about me." This man knew it. And whatever you think about these legion of demons, they knew as well who Jesus was. They begged him not to send him into the abyss. And Jesus didn't. So surely if this man, whatever was going on in his life, surely these demons, wherever they are, knew who Jesus was. And it happens over and over again in the Gospels. They knew he was. They knew his power. They knew what he could do. And they welcomed the healing. And they welcomed the love. And they received their lives back. For me, it's how we respond to Jesus, particularly when life is hard and difficult as Christians. How do we respond? The people from the area we read were scared and frightened. Obviously, some of them had lost their livelihood because this was a Gentile area and they were allowed to keep pigs and to eat them. The Jews weren't. They were frightened about what this man could do. And they asked him to leave. I don't know all the reasons why, but they missed out on what Jesus could do for them. Because Jesus gets in the boat and goes. When he's not welcome, he goes. When the disciples are sent out two by two, he tells them, if they won't receive your message, if they won't receive the healing, if they won't receive it, then shake the dust off your feet and go. Go to those people who will, who want you, who need you. This man needed Jesus. This man accepted Jesus. This man's life was changed. And you know what? Sadly, I encounter that all the time. I encounter people outside the church who just go, "It's not for me. No, don't believe in Jesus." Did I tell you the story of a 5-year-old doing that to me? I think I did, didn't I? 5-year-old saying, "I don't believe in God." So it's just a story. It's made up. I get that all the time. And I've come to the point in my ministry where my heart breaks, I feel sad, and I have to walk away like Jesus did often. But I want to go to the people who want Jesus, who are interested, who hopefully over time come to believe who he is, that he is the Son of God, and then he's got power over everything. When he stills the storm, the disciples say, "Who is this that can even control the weather?" And sadly, I meet people in church who don't believe that Jesus is that powerful, that Jesus can do these things. And I know it's not easy to believe. And we've prayed and not had answers, and we've seen others not get answers. But we need to believe in this Jesus, who is the Son of God, who did these things, who changed this man who was living no life to having life in all its fullness. And we need to trust that he knows what he's doing. And we need to offer him what's going on in our lives. And ask him to heal us, to guide us, to encourage us, to all the things he wants to give us. But we have got to be open. We have got to be willing. We have got to let Jesus in. And I meet so many people who do that. And my heart breaks. So let's just sit for a moment. And let's just think about what's going on in our minds. And offer that